How are you feeling after it took us the 2.5 hours to get to this position?
Don't know, my heart's racing. I'm scared this is gonna fall, and I'm scared this is not gonna work out.
Yeah, that seems pretty valid.
I'm really excited for this episode.
Me too. I wish you could drink water because my throat's kind of dry, but whatever.
I'm looking forward to eating.
Me too, me too. What did you have for Saha?
I had something really good. I had like cauliflower rice with tofu and chicken and rice noodles and asparagus.
That sounds very
so
yummy.
good. And there was like a bit of corn too. It was really good. And then I had tea and I had dates. I had fruit. Yeah, I think that was it. What about you?
We had cheese and then some homemade jam.
Oh.
My son has,
Don't you get like hungry
yeah, it's just like eat a lot of the homemade jam and a lot of the cheese.
though? I see. What homemade jam flavor?
It's quince jam.
I love that. Oh.
It's homemade, so it's there's like lots of like nuts and stuff added, so it's pretty good too.
How did you make it?
My dad just he like puts all the ingredients into like a pot, I think, with like and he
Oh.
like boils it. I don't know how he does it, but he puts it on the stove and then he cooks it that way.
That seems so fun.
It is pretty fun. Sometimes I help him, so it is pretty fun. I feel this is hopefully a good setting, the board of
Hopefully.
Bubba's.
Yes. I really look forward to doing more of these in the future because it was so fun setting this up.
Me too. Despite all the labor that went into just getting this board
Yes.
onto this nail, I'm happy we got through it.
And hopefully we can make it like more exciting, spice it up. I don't know.
Yes,
Yeah.
and we didn't really consider this, but maybe make like the name tags and stuff more visible for
Yeah.
the camera.
I thought it'd be nice to have like red blood drama, but it doesn't show, so there's no point in that.
I guess I should have brought colored pictures too. He ends up just wanting to get his job. Like that's all he wants. Like he'll serve whoever it is to serve his own interests, I feel like.
I feel like, was he ever like actually with Emma, or is it just because he was trying to like trick her?
I don't know. I feel like at the end when he was trying to like convince her that he wanted to help her and she was like, "No, this is just you trying to but you're just trying to help Regina." Maybe he was being honest, but I honestly don't know with him because he flip-flops so much.
Yeah, I feel like, I felt bad for him. Like his backstory is later on introduced in the later seasons, but I feel like he could have had potential for a greater person. Yeah. Anyway, oh, and he, in the fairy tale world, he's known as the mirror. Like, magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest on the wall? That's him. He is a mirror. Yeah.
I think, did we talk about everyone else?
Bellfire, did we mention
Oh, yeah.
he's Rumpelstiltskin's son? And the reason that Rumpelstiltskin becomes the Dark One, which we can kind of talk about later on.
I think lastly is the main character of the show, Emma Swan. And the show starts off with her, like working, she is unaware of her fairy tale origins, I guess, and she ends
Yeah.
up having to go back to Storybrooke because Henry finds her because she is his birth mother, and that's kind of how the show kick starts because she goes back to Storybrooke and she starts investigating all these weird magical things that have been happening since she came to the town.
And like at first Henry's trying to convince her, "Oh, your parents are Snow White and Prince Charming," but obviously she doesn't believe him, and she's like trying to play into his beliefs because she just wants to get closer to her son. And she stays originally because she wants to know that he's okay with Regina, because she sees that maybe he's feeling like a little bit unhappy. And so, yeah, that's honestly how it all starts. And like throughout the series, you can see Henry trying to like persuade Emma into believing the curse is real, and then slowly it all builds up in the end.
I've always wondered this, but in the town of Storybrooke, we know like Henry goes to school and stuff. So all those kids, are they just like former kids in the storybook realm that aren't important? Like are they like big goblin kids or like
Goblin
I don't
kids.
know, or like Han not Hansel and Gretel because we learn about them later this
Yeah.
season. But like what else could they be? Like I genuinely don't know. Who are these random children in Storybrooke? Who do they belong to?
Maybe it's like these like little children in the forest running around. Unsupervised, because we don't see many parents in there either. In fact, yeah, like who's picking up these kids?
yeah, Mary Margaret is a teacher. What is the class that she's teaching? Like, who are these, whose kids are she teaching?
And is this like an actual school? Because are there other classes? Like, is Mary Margaret the only teacher we see there?
I think she is the only real teacher we see. But also, like, I guess maybe there are obscure fairy tales that aren't very, like, known. So maybe that's where all these people are coming from.
Yeah.
But, like, even then.
That makes me wonder. That's a good question. I've never really thought about this before.
It just came to me as you were talking right now, and I was like, wait a moment. This is kind of weird. Maybe
Yeah.
do they explain it later on? I feel like they don't.
No, they really do not. The class is just always there. I guess maybe growing up with Henry. Yeah.
Wait, so when I don't want to spoil things, but when certain events happen later, does that change the classmates? Like, are they just the same?
I feel like since they're not main characters, they replace the characters. We don't know who they are originally, so I would not have noticed. Yeah.
And then also, this is my other question. Granny's is always empty, so except for like the main characters. Like, I never see anyone else in there. So is this like because of like how are they running on money? Is it just
Yeah,
magic?
that's what I wonder, especially for like Jiminy Cricket, Archie as well. Like his shrink business, how does he get money? Because the only real patient I've seen him with is Henry.
And it's not like Henry has money to give him.
Well,
Well,
Regina
Regina
does.
does.
I wonder, yeah, how are any of these people like making a living? And also in the first season, where the first few episodes when Emma wasn't working, was she just living off of her previous like salary?
Maybe. I think she lives in New York, right? And her job is like a
Bail bond
bonds
person. Yeah.
person. Maybe it paid really well? I'm not sure though.
Maybe. I have not, like, I've never heard of that job before I saw the show.
Me neither. I was so impressed when I was younger. I was like, such a cool, unique job.
Yeah. So, this season, there's not, in comparison to other seasons, it's less chaotic. Yeah. What do you want to go into next? That was just the main sub plot points here.
Yes, alongside kind of like the key characters to look out for, which we've outlined on this board.
Yeah.
I guess for some characters that we haven't really gone into depth, I guess I'll just quickly, we'll quickly speed through them. So there's Catherine, which we mentioned before. She was
David.
David's wife in the curse world, but it's like an unhappy relationship, and they
Yeah.
end up ending their relationship near the end of season one.
But not. Okay, so before they end the relationship, David
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mary Margaret, they're like destined, right? They are meant to be. So they kind of go around sneaking and having these secret dates and all these secret rendezvous. So before he and Catherine divorce, he and Mary Margaret, they are doing all that. And then they finally get discovered by Regina.
And David, even though he's Prince Charming in the magical world, he becomes like
Just David.
just David.
Well, his name is David in the fairy tale world, but then his cursed name is also David, so nothing really changes.
Yeah, but he ends up like being he doesn't really have a relationship with Mary Margaret in the beginning of the show, even though they were together in the fairy tale world, right? All memories forgotten.
Oh, and he's in a coma in the beginning. So, like, oh, a bug again. Nasty bug. But yeah, he's in a coma and. He has a wife in the show, like Catherine, and we'll get into her later, but basically, they're already married, and she's just like waiting for him to wake up in the coma.
Is there anyone else you want to introduce as well? Like from their fairy tale to their cursed version?
Let's see. We talked about Rumpelstiltskin, right? Or do we not?
Maybe you should mention him again.
Yes. Rumpelstiltskin. Known as Mr. Gold in this new show. So, okay, let's bring on a new concept. It's called the Dark One. And this Dark One, they basically have a lot of dark powers. So, there's this dagger that can control the Dark One. And then that dagger basically wields all their power. So, Mr. Gold, or known as Rumpelstiltskin, he went through a series of actions to basically kill the previous Dark One and take on the new Dark One name, because whoever kills the existing Dark One, they, like, I think stabs them with the dagger. Yeah, whoever stabs them with the dagger, then they become the new Dark One, and that's why he has like powers in the fairy tale world. And then, yeah.
Also, I think we should mention Regina and how when she became, when she created Storybrooke, right? What she does next is that she, does she remember that she has the memories, right?
Yeah, she has
Yeah,
her
she
memories.
has the memories. So she adopts Henry, and then what she ends up doing is that she ends up raising him as the, I believe, mayor of Storybrooke.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the mayor of Storybrooke. And then also, she has this very weird relationship with the
Oh
sheriff,
my God.
as you can see, Sheriff Graham.
Yeah.
Or is it Graham or Graham?
Graham. I feel, Graham. I don't,
Graham.
Graham. It's such a, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really weird and a bit disturbing, honestly, their relationship.
So disturbing. I watched this as a child and I couldn't like wrap my mind around what was going on with them. But yeah, oh, I don't know if we mentioned this before. Regina is the evil queen.
Oh, yes.
So she's stepmother to her and technically the grandmother, step grandmother of Henry, but also his adoptive mother.
Yes, and
Yeah.
there's also other characters here, like for example, Archie Hopper. He's like the town like psychiatrist, basically.
The town shrink.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
town shrink, and he's always just walking his dog. I don't know why, but he's always out with like with his dog and doing stuff.
Yes, and his like fairy tale character is Jiminy Cricket. So he was like an actual cricket. Yeah.
And then there's Ruby, who was Red Riding Hood, and she's like the waitress, at like the
At Granny's.
granny's.
That's their main center for like eating. Sorry. Sorry.
It's gotten to you too.
Yes. No. Okay. Are you gonna cheer me up? Okay, yeah. And Granny's is our main place of just like hanging out. I guess you've always seen like Granny's making plans, talking. So she's the daughter of Granny from the Red Riding Hood tale.
Yes.
Yeah, and.
Oh, there's August Booth, who we later learn is Pinocchio.
Yeah, like he gets introduced a bit later into the
Yeah.
season, and he's like this mysterious newcomer showing up in Storybrooke, and Regina didn't know who he was. So, like, even she didn't know, and she was in charge of this town that she created. So, it, like, he kind of rearranges the storybook to include the story of Pinocchio because it wasn't included. And the storybook, if we haven't mentioned before, there's so many concepts here, is this book that was made after the curse was placed on the town and the citizens. So, Henry somehow got a hold of that book. Back to here, and he got it from Mary Margaret because she gave it to him when he was like in need of hope.
Because as we mentioned, she's like a school teacher. So one day when he was feeling, I think it was like upset or something,
Yeah.
she gave this book to him and he ended up reading it.
Yeah. And then some, like he started seeing Mary Margaret as Snow White, and then that's when his vision became clear. That's how he knew. So that storybook is kind of like the answer to everything. And then he, August, can change that. Like, well, he created a new section.
Then this is Belle. Oh. In the fairy tale world, she actually had this very much like Beauty and the Beast dynamic and kind of story with Mr. Gold as Rumpelstiltskin. But then she ends up losing her memories, right? And then her name is still Belle in the cursed world. But yeah, and then she and Rumpelstiltskin also have a very interesting and very disturbing relationship.
I might say even abusive. Like, it's really bad. And she's placed in a psych ward. Like in the cursed world, like she's just locked up. She doesn't really know anything. And Regina's keeping her there.
And then I think, oh, we forgot to talk about Sydney, but Sydney is like the
Yes.
town reporter and he technically works for Regina, but he does a lot of like flip-flopping between her and Emma.
Okay, so I guess that is our little introduction to what Once Upon a Time is. When did you get into it?
I think I was 11 when I first tried to watch it, but I didn't actually watch the show until I was 12 or 13. What about you?
I think I was 11 or 10 years old, and then that was like the first time I watched it, and I was scared. And then, but my friend said it was really good, and it wasn't scary. So I tried watching it again, and then I got scared again. So I made my mom watch it with me a bit, but then she got bored so much.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish I loved it as much. I think I saw it like once or twice and then that was it.
I think it was just like a very interesting new idea for me. Yeah.
I think one of the like nicest things about this show is that you get to watch like Henry grow up. Like I really like that. And in the first season you can just see how like innocent and sweet he is, but also like how smart and how like thoughtful and how intelligent he is, honestly, for reading that book, as we're going to talk about later, and realizing what there is to the town.
Yeah, exactly. How old is he supposed to be? Like
10?
10? Oh my gosh, like my sister's nearly at that age, okay? I can't see her doing all the things Henry's doing. Like, he's just such an intelligent kid doing everything here.
Well, I guess he does have some of the magic in his
That's true. Heritage. Like, coursing through his veins.
Yeah. I guess we should move on to actually talking about, I guess the first thing about the show, the family tree and the characters, because it gets a bit complicated trying to figure out who is who.
Sorry, there's a bug over there. Whoa, did you notice it?
I did not.
Wait, where is it? It's over there. It's fallen down on the window. Oh, it better not come here.
I don't see it. It's
over there.
The bird outside?
No.
Wait, where?
You just have to be closer. Come here.
Okay. Maybe I'm just blind, but I don't
see it. Oh, wait, I see it now.
It's so horrible.
Wait, is it moving? I can't tell.
Oh, it is moving.
Oh.
Wait, is it inside? It is, right?
I don't know. I can't see.
I don't know how it got in here.
Sorry, that was like, I was going on a tangent, but this bug is bothering me. Okay. Right, so for the family tree, do you want to start explaining?
Okay, I guess the character that I think we should start off with is Henry, only because I think he is the first character you should know when you talk about Once Upon a Time, because he kind of instigates the entire show, basically.
Definitely.
So this is at the very top, that is Henry.
Yes.
And it gets a bit complicated, but Henry's birth mother is over here, is Emma Swan, okay? Mm-hmm. But Henry also has an adopted mother, and she's on the right. Yeah, the right, Regina. And then this is where it gets a bit weird. So Emma's two parents, of which she's unaware of at the beginning of the show, are Mary Margaret or Snow White. And then Prince Charming, or known as David. And we'll explain why they have different names soon. Then if we go, so basically, if you go back to Regina, is Mary Margaret or Snow White's stepmother, which makes her technically Henry's grandmother and mother at the same time. I think besides that, is there any, like, the family tree, I feel like, is pretty simple in season one.
That's the, like, foundation family tree of, like, these main characters, but then we also have, like, just Gold and his son Balefire, and that's just them two. Yeah. Oh, wait, we forgot to mention David over here. That's him, okay? David or Prince Charming. But then look at here. There's James, Prince James.
Oh, yeah.
They may look similar, but they're different people. And that's because one of them was given up at birth to the king, King George. Who I really despise as a character. And that deal was made by Rumpelstiltskin. So James went on to live with the king while he grew up with his mother in their family farm. So yeah, they're also connected.
I forgot how simple it is. Like, you look at this and it's not really that intense compared to like season 6 or season 7.
It gets so much worse there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Should we kind of explain like the basis of the plot just to go in?
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to start?
Oh, okay. So basically, there is a magical curse set on the fairy tale lands by Regina, the evil queen. And what this curse does is that it basically takes all these fairy tale characters and takes them without their memories of their former fairy tale life. It's really like, okay, to explain what happened between Mr. Gold and then Belle in more detail, is in the fairy tale world, basically what happened was that it involves like Belle's father, much like Beauty and the Beast, right? Mr. Gold ends up like having to like take Belle into his castle for whatever reason.
It was because he wanted to stop the ogre wars.
Oh, Mr. yeah, the ogre.
Belle's father. And they had this kingdom, and Belle was, like, a princess, right? And she was currently engaged to Gaston. But then, the ogres, like, they were losing the war, so Rumpelstiltskin just shows up, and he's like, I can solve your problems, I can make them all go away, I can kill all the ogres. And then, they're like, oh, what do you want in return? And he's like, I want your daughter, Belle. And so he just takes her captive, he kills the ogres, Gaston is left without a fiancé, and they go off, and she's made into his maid.
Yeah, and then usually, and initially, it's, like, not really good. He's, like, mistreating her. It's, like, not good at all. Mm-hmm. But then slowly, Belle, like, wants to learn more about him, and she becomes more curious about who he is and his character. And it gets to the point where one day, their relationship becomes a lot better, and then he tells her she can go into town on her own. And then, like, when she goes, he's like, oh, I don't expect you to come back or something, and that, like, really hurts her feelings. And then when she is running away from him because she feels so unsafe with him, she runs into Regina,
yes,
as the evil queen. And then basically what Regina does is that she tells Belle that she can solve this curse on Rumpelstiltskin with a true love's kiss. So when she goes back, she kisses Rumpelstiltskin and she tells him, like, what is going on. And then he thinks that she betrayed him. So basically what Rumpelstiltskin does is that he basically chains her in his dungeon and then is like, leave my castle and never return. And then I think their memories get lost. Oh, and then Regina captures Belle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but she says that she's killed to Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, yeah, she lies and tells him that she killed herself, which is even more horrific of Regina to do.
Yeah, and then Rumpelstiltskin, being Rumpelstiltskin, he goes on a rampage. He's, like, breaking all these, like glasses, plates, and then he finds their chipped teacup, and he looks at it with, like, you know, what could have been. Yeah. And then this, like, carries on into their cursed lives, because... Oh, this is such a traumatic episode, but he was basically, like, blaming... He still thought at this point that Belle died because of their father, right? Because once Belle... according to Regina's version of the story, once Belle went back home after being with Rumpelstiltskin, her father didn't accept her. So that's why she killed herself. And so that's why in the cursed world, Rumpelstiltskin kidnaps Mo. That's his name, Belle's father. And... he starts, like, beating him up with his cane, which is, like, really traumatic for a child to watch, right? And then, he gets a lot, like, bloody, right? And he's holding a gun to his head, Mr. Gold. Why is this a child show? So, he's holding a gun to his head, and then Emma interrupts them. And he's like, you can't do this! So, yeah. And then he's arrested, briefly, after that.
What's interesting is that at the end of the show... Jefferson, who is the Mad Hatter, also played by Sebastian Stan, which I thought was so funny because I forgot he was in the show, and then I watched it and I was like, oh wait, Sebastian Stan is here. Mm-hmm. At the end of the show, he ends up freeing Belle from the psych ward, and she reunites with Rumpelstiltskin, and they somehow end up, like, making it up to each other, basically.
Yeah, this is a precursor to what their relationship is going to look like in all the following seasons. It's literally just the idea of the man behind the beast for Rumpelstiltskin. And then Belle's like, oh, I can save you. I can change you. You can be a better man.
She's the original I can fix him girl.
You're so right. And then it just goes back and forth. Them breaking up. I can't change you, Rumpel. You have to change yourself. You have to want to change for yourself. And then that's just the whole point. Yeah.
I feel like I wish that Ruby had a bigger role in this show, because I know she had... Did she really have that? I feel like she didn't really do much in the first season.
No, but she was, like, a good friend to Mary Snow White in the world. I really like their friendship, too.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, and another side character we forgot to introduce is Cinderella. Ashley is her cursed name, and Emma basically helps her because Ashley's pregnant in the cursed world, right? And... Emma, like, sees herself in Ashley because, we forgot to mention, Emma had Henry when she was in prison, and she was, like, pretty young, okay? So, basically, she, like, wanted to help Ashley because of that. Ashley was struggling, and then Sean, who is supposed to be, like, not Prince Charming, but what do you call Cinderella's prince?
The prince?
Whatever, the prince. Sean, that's his cursed name. He's kind of, like, not with her because of his dad who's forbidding their relationship. So Ashley's all on her own, struggling. And she Sean's dad, he made a deal with Mr. Gold. Mr. Gold. And so Mr. Gold wanted to take Ashley's baby in order to, like, in exchange for, like, paying her a lot of money. And she runs away with the baby. Emma helps her. Yeah. That's basically the plot point for Ashley.
Yes. And I feel like it's also important to mention that throughout Emma's time in this town, she is, like, she's not just, like, a watcher by. She, like, becomes sheriff. Like, she works with the sheriff. I think she becomes sheriff at some point.
Yeah, she does. Yes.
And she ends up, like, investigating all these things going on in the town. And you can see, leading up to her revelation, this is all true, how, like, these are starting to add up. Like, the clock, something, like, weird happens to the clock when Emma starts living in the town.
Yes, it starts moving because, according to Henry, time was frozen there.
But then Emma came and time started passing.
Yeah, and it was, like, a huge big moment there. And the reason she became sheriff was because Graham... Oh, I was going to point to Augustine. Graham, he said that he wanted to make her a deputy. And so, like, at the time, the police station was kind of controlled by Regina. But then, once Emma came, it started changing, right? And so, yeah, she became sheriff later on when he was killed, sadly, for Graham. And she and Sydney had this election because Regina obviously doesn't want Emma to... like, be sheriff. So, Emma's over here, Sydney's over here. They have an election to be sheriff. And then, there's a whole huge thing going on. But then, basically, Mr. Gold helps Emma win by starting a fire. And Emma didn't know that. So, she saves Regina because they're both together. That gives her good press. And then, she reveals in the speeches, of course, like a true hero, that it was Mr. Gold who started the fire. And then, they see her bravery, her courage, her truth in exposing Mr. Gold. So, she becomes sheriff.
And basically, yeah, I feel like there's so many different plot points happening. It's really hard to just pinpoint what to say and what not to say because everything just intertwines and leads up to the last part.
Yeah, and I feel like the main part in getting Emma to believe, like, August was someone who did a huge part in that because he is Pinocchio, right? And in the real world, he was starting to turn into wood. And so he wanted Emma to believe. And he was like, here, look at my leg. That she couldn't see because she didn't believe. Because only someone who believed would see his leg. And so it was at a really bad point. And then he was trying to, like, get her to believe. And he was... Okay, so when Emma was sent to the... Can you explain this part where Emma was sent to the world?
Wait, which world? Like,
the cursed world. Like, through the wardrobe. Because that's... a really important part.
Oh, like when she was little?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I guess we should have probably began with this. But the way... we should probably explain Emma. Like, who is Emma?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Emma is the main character. And as we mentioned earlier, her parents are Mary Margaret, who is Snow White, and Prince Charming, or David. Well, I guess his name is David in both. I'll call him Prince Charming in the fairy tale world to make it the divide easier. So basically, in the fairy tale world, these two fall in love. And then, you know, they get together, they get married, and then Regina, she, like, comes at their wedding and is like, oh, you didn't invite me, blah, blah, blah. She, like, sets a curse.
That's not the real reason that they didn't invite her, but yeah.
Yeah. And then, basically, when she gets pregnant with Emma and she has Emma, Regina's basically really horrible, okay? She just does, like, this horrific curse, I'm pretty sure. And the curse is, I think, about Emma, that she's, like, the chosen one. And that she will...
The savior.
And she will defeat the evil. And Regina doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is that in order to protect Emma, they lock her in this magical wardrobe. Or they at least they put her in this magical wardrobe. And then that magical wardrobe, it, like, transports her to the real world. Where she will be safer. And then as they do that, Regina, like, sets the curse. And then everyone starts to forget who they are.
Yes, but a really important thing to know. In the book... in this show, when they make the magical wardrobe, the fairies, they have, Pinocchio's the one who made it, right? He carved it up.
Yeah.
And then he wants his own son to be safe. So that's why he makes the fairy lie, the blue fairy, who tells, like, the whole council of fairy tale people that there's only one spot on the wardrobe.
It was meant for his son.
Yeah, well, in reality, there's two spots. Mm. They make her say that it's one spot. And so that's why they sneak August in as well. And so he kind of, like, August is Pinocchio. He goes in with Emma as a child. And he's, like, a bit older than her. I think 7 years old at the time. But yeah. And then they both get transported together. And that's why when August comes up as a character in the Chris world, and they're both grown up. She's 25. He's a bit older. He's, like, showing
her. She's 25?
Her. Yeah. In the show, she's 25.
Wait, so she had Henry when she was 15?
Wait, there's no way that makes sense. No way. Oh, 28.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. 18.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. So she had him when she was 20. No, she's in Storybook in 28 years of age. And then August shows her the forest, the wardrobe where they were transported, and he's trying to get her to believe. But she doesn't.
August is so schemey. He's always doing stuff. He, like, I remember this one scene where he's, like, dipping the pages of the story tale into, like, liquor. Like, some sort of, like, liquid. Because he was trying to alter it. And he's just always doing stuff like that because he, as you said earlier, he wants to insert his story. I don't remember exactly what happens after.
Because he thinks that August is his son, Bellfire.
Oh, yeah!
Because Bellfire was, like, he abandoned his son, Bellfire.
Yes. And then near, like, the end, I think in my notes I wrote, on episode 19, what happens is that Mr. Gold, he realizes that August is actually after, like, he's interested in the dagger. And as I mentioned before, that dagger is very important to Mr. Gold because he's a dark one, right?
Anyone who gets a hold of the dagger can control him. But in the, like, cursed world, that there's no magic. So it doesn't hold any power. But August does know that. And so August pretends to be his son, Bellfire. And then for a time, Gold believes that. But then August, he, like, once he gets the dagger from his dad, Mr. Gold, he tries to control it, right? And then Mr. Gold says, oh, I know you're not my son now. He would never try to control me with the dagger. Yeah.
Mr. Gold is honestly so, like, as you can see from this corkboard, literally everything goes back to either Mr. Gold or Emma. And that's kind of how the entire show kind of works. I feel like Mr. Gold, he's like the true villain. Like Regina, she's the more overt, obvious villain. But Mr. Gold is like, he's the more niche, more, I guess I would say more subtle true villain.
Well, in this season. The other season is more like revealed.
Yeah.
But we should also explain how Mr. Gold in the fairy tale world, he's in a cage. Because Ashley, the same deal was being made. When Cinderella had her children, like, the only way she was able to get to her Prince Charming, her own Prince Charming, that is through making the deal with Rumpelstiltskin. And so she didn't know that she would be giving up her first child, but that's what happened. And so she tries to get some help from the Blue Fairy, and so they get this squid ink that traps him when he signs this contract, right? And so that's why he is trapped into this cage. But then we kind of see how he's like he kind of saw everything coming. He has the power to see the future. And so, like, he could also see that Emma was a savior, right? So people visit him in his cage all the time, the fairy tale world. It's this whole thing.
I do feel kind of bad for him because of that. Like, a little bit.
People visiting him in this cage?
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like that's, like, a really horrible feeling.
Is it? I think he knew about the cage, though. Like, he knew he was going to be in there.
I know, but I don't know. There's, like, this one scene later on in the seasons where they do, like, a flashback, and I won't explain it too well, but it was, like, a really bad flashback, and I felt really bad for him in that scene.
I know
scene.
What you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Gold's, like, backstory, whenever I see how he becomes the Dark One, it's like, the hardest episode to watch, because the reason he becomes the Dark One is because his son, Bellfire, he's turning 14, and that's the age that they recruit the children into the Ogre Wars. And Mr. Gold doesn't, Rumpelstiltskin doesn't want that for his son, so he tries to run away. But then the people, the soldiers, to claim the boys, who take them with them for the war, they stop him. So there's this old homeless man who's, like, telling Mr. Gold, Rumpelstiltskin, about the Dark One and how he can use the Dark One to control, like, he can get the dagger to control the Dark One and, like, put an end to the people recruiting the children. And then he does that, but then he gets like so riled up by that like homeless man, and he realizes that homeless man is a dark one. He was just trying to like get rid of this dark one curse because he didn't want to be the dark one anymore. So he ends up killing the dark one and becoming the dark one himself. So it's really sad because when he does that, he loses his connection to Bellfire. Like, he becomes evil, right? And Bellfire, like, he doesn't like seeing that. So he kind of like loses his son. And it's a really sad backstory.
I guess should we explain how the show ends too? I feel like it just like all of these plot lines, they all end in well, as I kind of mentioned before, Mr. Gold, his stories result by reuniting with Belle. So I guess he kind of gets a happy ending at the end of season one
For
for
now.
now. As for Emma, she and Henry, they reunite. I believe
Yes, because
he was like,
okay, we should explain how the finale happens because it's really important. Oh my gosh, every single episode is important. But basically, so Henry really wants to get Emma to leave. She wants to go back to Boston, okay?
She's about to like take him with her,
Yeah.
and then he like makes her car go into a ditch.
Yes. And basically, okay, so Emma, Regina cooks these like apple pies, I think, this sweet with apples. And then she wants to give it to Emma. But then little does she know that Regina, using her last resource of magic through the Mad Hatter, whose hat can travel back into the fairy tale world. This sounds so crazy. He gets her poison apple from when she like put the sleeping spell on Snow White. And she uses that apple to put it into the sweet that she gives Emma. And Henry's like, "That's gonna be poison. Don't eat that." And Emma's like, "Henry, I'm so tired of these this delusion. You need to stop." And then that's like goes into the gaslighting Henry, which we can talk about later on too. And then Henry takes the bite for himself, and he's like, "You'll believe me now." And he's like, "Oh, you're fine." But then a few seconds later, he he goes into a coma. Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, joke's on you, Emma. Like, I was like, you
I
finally
was happy.
see.
I was happy when he went into a coma because I was like, finally she believes. It only took her son going to a coma for her to believe. But yeah, basically she spends the rest of the time working with Regina because they both care about their son. And they basically have to work with each other to get a cure for Henry. But little do they know, Mr. Gold, who's been helping them along in this quest to help their son wake up again, he makes them go on this quest with Maleficent, the dragon. And Emma tries to, she slays the dragon, right? She gets the potion that she needs. And when she gets that potion, Mr. Gold takes it from her. And so they basically end up without a potion. But in the end, what is this solution to every fairy tale? True love's kiss. And Emma gives that to
On
Henry.
like his forehead, and it's really sweet.
Yeah, and that breaks the curse. So everyone's woken up.
And that kind of really sets the scene for season two.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the gaslighting of Henry?
Yes,
Like, from
please.
the moment we watch the show, we see Henry just get rejected about, I see it now. I see the bug.
Yeah.
So, we see Henry get shot down for even mentioning the fairy tales, and Regina especially, because she knows, she has her memories. She's actively always gaslighting Henry whenever
So
he brings
sad.
it up.
Oh my gosh. Seeing Regina bring down Henry's ideas all the time, it's like, well, it's so hard to see because he's just a little kid, a little 10-year-old. And then he thinks that his mom is the evil queen, right? And so she doesn't want him thinking that. So she obviously she thinks the storybook is dangerous for you. She tries to burn the storybook by burning down his playground where he and Emma meet all the time. And he placed the storybook there. And so, yeah, she's just always making him doubt himself.
And I guess we should, it's not just Regina, even though she plays a huge role. Like, a lot of the other people, too, they also, like Emma, for example. I guess it
Yeah.
makes sense for Emma, because she comes from the real world and she
Yeah.
doesn't really believe in magic. But she's, like, even though all these things don't add up, she's still like, oh, Henry,
Like, when will you stop believing in this?
there's always an explanation, but sometimes there really isn't.
I know, it's right there in front of her eyes if you just, oh, looked at it. And so that's why she, oh, Regina sets Emma up once, and then, like, she's like, let's make up to Emma. And then she's, like, talking about Henry, right, and his belief in this curse. And then Emma says, oh, yeah, this is so, like, this is so stupid, basically, in her words. And, like, he shouldn't be believing this. I don't know why this is so serious. And then Henry walks in and hears. So I felt really bad for Henry in that moment.
Me too. And I do kind of feel bad for Regina, like, a little bit, because she adopted Henry, but Henry still sees her as the evil queen and views Emma as the savior. And clearly, we can see in the show that he would rather spend time with Emma than with Regina. Yeah. And I felt kind of bad for her, especially because I don't know if it was, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, there's, like, one scene, I think it wasn't this season, but maybe it was the next season, where she was talking to Emma, and she was like, you weren't the one who changed his diapers, you weren't the one who took care of him. And I did feel kind of bad for her, that even though she did all that, her son doesn't like her. At the same time, she's controlling this town and gaslighting him actively. So yeah. I don't feel that bad for her.
Mm-hmm. And she also gets Archie to gaslight Henry in this, like, whole episode where Henry's trying to get evidence of Cinderella's glass slippers, like, the glass, and he goes into a mine, okay? And he's, like, because people are gaslighting him so much, Henry goes into that mine, and he tries to get evidence of the glass slippers. And then Archie follows him, because he feels bad, because he's, like, shooting down Henry's ideas, because Regina told him to, or else he would lose his job as a shrink. And so they both go together, they get trapped in the mine, people bring them out, it's a whole, like, plot line. Yeah. I just felt bad for Henry this whole season. But at least in the end, they could see.
Yes. Also, I think we should talk about something else. In this show, besides all these plot lines that happen together, there's also different, like, timelines. Like, you have storylines happening in Storybrooke in, I guess, present day. But then you also have things happening in the Enchanted Forest a long time ago. And these things, you get shown these scenes simultaneously. So, but then you kind of get to see, like, how these scenes correlate. Like, for example, in the scene where Henry, like, eats that apple that is has the apple, like, dish that is poisoned. Like, in the scene, like, a couple scenes before it, you get to see how Regina, as the evil queen, she gave the apple to Snow White in the fairy tale, and then she got poisoned. So it's kind of like the fairy tale kind of shows you how these fairy tales are seen and kind of almost played, like, replayed in the Storybrooke world.
Yeah, so, like, with Cinderella's plotline, too, you see Cinderella in the fairy tale world and how she's, like, growing up with her evil stepsisters. I know, the book is, ugh, a horrible buzzing sound. But, yeah, you see her, like, in this fairy tale world, how she makes a deal with the, well, Rumpel kills the fairy godmother that she was supposed to have. So, instead, Rumpel is her fairy godmother. But then you see, at the same time, in the real world, Ashley and Emma raising, you know, trying to keep her baby. So all these, like, interconnected stories.
Okay, so now that we're done talking about the complexity and chaos of season one, we can kind of move on to talking about characters, and specifically ones we like and don't like.
Yes. So I feel like after kind of explaining this family tree, I feel like we can kind of go into personal opinions of these people in these family trees and in this complex dynamics that we see on this board.
So, okay, starting off, I think, like, the main cast, the principal cast, who do you like from it?
I mean, I feel like I feel like they're all pretty likable in the first season. I love Henry, he's my favorite. And especially in season one, you just feel bad for him because he is such a nice, like, smart kid and no one ever takes him seriously. I liked Emma too. I feel like I really enjoyed, because I remember, like, in the first episode, right, she talks about, like, really being really lonely and not having anyone, and then at the end she has all these, like, new friends, and she has, like, a good relationship with her son and stuff, so I was really happy for her on that. Mary Margaret I don't like, but that's for later reasons in later seasons, so I think in this season I do like her. Mr. Gold, no, he's really, really horrible. I don't really have too much of an opinion on the others. I feel like they're all fine. Like,
Regina?
Regina? I didn't like her in this season, but even though I felt a bit bad for her. Mm-hmm. And I hate saying this. I feel like we keep saying this, but in the later seasons, she does get a lot better.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is just the beginning of her story.
And Prince Charming, or David?
I liked him.
I think he's a solid character. Is there? I think you have to press on again.
Oh yeah, you're right. You
No,
fixed
yeah.
it.
Okay. What about you? I think. Okay, so I think in terms of the villains, I sympathized the most with Mr. Gold this season, just because we had a whole episode on his backstory and how he became the Dark One, and also how he lost his son, which was like really sad to see. So that's why I kind of like felt more compassion, I guess, for him in comparison to Regina, who we always see trying to like break apart Henry and Emma, and like obviously as Emma being the main character and her parents being like these good heroes, like you empathize more with their side. So Regina, I did not like Mr. Gold. He was like very cold and calculating, but I liked him more this season. Yeah. And in terms of the heroes, I liked all of them, I think. Yeah. In the later parts where Emma and Mary Margaret is accused of killing Catherine because Catherine's gone missing because they can't leave the Storybrooke town line. That's also something we didn't say. But part of the curse is they're not able to leave. And then Catherine, there's a whole story about it, but she is missing. And then Mary Margaret is accused of it. And it was really scary to watch as a child, honestly, this part. But I think when I saw those scenes and the Mad Hatter kidnapping Emma and Mary Margaret like coming to save her, kind of, I liked seeing them bond a lot. And I didn't see much interaction between David and Emma, but like the ones I saw from David and Mary Margaret is kind of cute because, like, I don't know if you remember this one episode, but it was where Mary Margaret and David are both like, "Oh, I like you, but I like you too." And she's like, "I get up every morning like at 7:15 to Granny's because I want to see you." And he's like, "Oh, well, I go to
Oh,
Granny's every day at 7:15 to see you."
that's
And
so
that I was like really
cute.
cute. It's like every single universe are meant to be. And Henry is obviously such a cute little sweetheart.
I also love how Emma and Mae Margaret's relationship, even though it starts out as friends, they become really close and they end up living together. And I like
Yeah.
how, even though she didn't know she was her mom, she still felt that connection to Mae Margaret.
Yes, I would argue this is like the most solid connection they had, like throughout the entire s series. That's a story for another time. Yeah.
I feel like what was your favorite, I guess, plot or like favorite thing that happens? It can even be like, it doesn't have to be a big thing, it can be like a little thing.
I feel like, I don't know, the plot I really found the most engaging was the Mad Hatter plot with his daughter, because he wanted his daughter Grace to remember him. And so he was, kidnapping Emma, trying to get her to like save everyone. Yeah, I think I found the most interesting. What about you?
Probably August, because I think it's a bit funny how he's always just up to something. He's always just trying to get something done. And I think the way he's just always trying to get Emma to be like, "Oh, look at this well. It's a magic well. Like, don't you believe?" And she's like, "No." And that's kind of funny.
That is very funny. Out of like the supporting characters, who do you not like?
He also supporting.
Like, I feel like these people are kind of supporting.
Okay.
Plus, like Ashley and other characters. The dwarves, maybe. Yeah.
I feel like I was not the biggest fan of Catherine, but I also understand her point of view because her hus her like perceived husband, right? He's literally cheating on her with the school teacher and doesn't tell her.
That's true.
So I kind of feel for her, even if I don't really like her character that much.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What about you?
As a child, like the first time I watched this, I was like really, I disliked her for trying to like get in the way of true love. But then now I'm more understanding of her side. Like I definitely understand why. Like she has every right to be mad and angry.
Yeah, I think I don't even really dislike her. I think I disliked her when I was younger, so I just always assumed that I would dislike her. But on this
Yeah.
rewatch, it's less dislike and more just sympatheticness.
Yeah, and her own character has a backstory too in the real world where her fiance was like turned to gold by her father. But then David saves him back. So, yeah, that was nice to see.
I would ask you what are you looking forward to, but you've seen the show, so I don't think this is it's I guess it's more like what are you excited to see in season two than like what are you hoping for?
Yeah, but we have also already seen season two, so I feel like we can't say anything on that.
I like how in season one, I think season one is like the darkest season in that it's never comically dark or like dark in a way that's not really dark. Like in the later seasons, I feel like this is actually kind of dark and scary.
It is the whole plot with the graveyard and Regina's vault of hearts and Graham's story. That was a scary story for Hein,
For
the
me,
huntsman.
that was my episode two where she crushes his heart. We alternate the episodes on the rewatch so we
Yeah.
could update each other. I forgot how traumatizing that was.
Was actually scary. And seeing Graham like start to go crazy, it was like, oh, I was like, even now, it feels so hard to watch.
Also, like also everything Mr. Gold did, literally everything, he just unnerved me so much. He has such an unnerving, I think, personality and his mannerisms that
Yeah.
every time he was on screen, I was like, oh.
You always just have this iffy feeling that something's gonna happen just because he's there, his
Yeah.
presence.
I think, especially in the later seasons, where you get literally just characters from the Frozen movie being in the Once Upon a Time show for
Yeah.
some reason. I think this just shows how good season one was. And the other seasons are good too, but I think this one is the darkest one, the most ominous one. Because the other ones are a lot more lighthearted, or at least a bit more on like the like it's not really dark, it's more like kind of cringe dark, but like playing into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wish we'd seen more like dark, but I will not argue. Like, I feel like my favorite season was the second season or the third season. So, yeah, we shouldn't be talking about the other seasons though. Yeah.
I feel like it's all we've talked about, but I think it's just because season one, it's like sets the foundation, and then there's
Yeah.
so much that comes from season one. So you can't really talk about season one without mentioning the other seasons because so much like comes from this season.
Oh my gosh. I really think that we should like do this for every season, and at the end, we do like a whole big one.
Oh.
Oh, there's so many plot lines at that point. It's gonna be a pain to like do.
Yes, but it would be really worth it if everything really comes together.
Yeah, I agree. So that was kind of like a whole unwrapping of Once Upon a Time season one.
It was a bit messy and a bit all over the place. But Once Upon a Time season one was also messy and all over the place. So I feel like this kind of suits that energy.
This is the energy of the show. Our disorganization is like really like representative of it, so.
Yeah, so this is our justifying kind of going a bit off track, but I thought that was good. I feel like we got to talk about a lot of interesting things, and I'm really excited if we do a rewatch to revisit season two because we get introduced to so many good new characters.
So many. This has inspired me. I might like just do my own rewatch today of season two.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I hope that you get to experience season two without any academic stress. Because
Thank you.
I was going to rewatch today too, as we were talking about this, and then I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm just going to like, I have to do math while doing this because we have a test, like an
Yeah.
exam coming up soon." So I hope that when you watch, you are able to like completely get away from that.
I can't, but after this week, I will. So, yeah, I'll just multitask.
I'm sorry, that sounded backhanded. Like, oh, I
No.
hope you didn't. No, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant like. I want you to experience
I
that
didn't
without
take
the
that way.
stress.
I felt it like so, like as a kind words being passed upon me.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Yeah. We really hope you enjoyed this.
Yes, if you are interested in maybe having one on season two or the later seasons, please let us know.
Or on any other show. Like this is really fun. So, and we're huge show watchers, so
Yes.
we will probably have watched any show you mention.
We also have the audio available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, because we want to keep of it dual. So even though this is kind of a podcast and we had a more visual aspect to it, we still want to keep that aspect in. So this is
Yeah.
also there in audio form.
So if you want to check that out, maybe while studying, because I find like listening to podcasts while studying like kind of calming. That would be great. And we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's such a real YouTuber thing to say. Wow.
Yes.